Good afternoon, 4:30 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Coffey.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
So we're concerned that this might develop into not just vacant homes, but in somebody, or maybe they don't know that somebody in a home somebody lives in.
Deputy Fire Chief Greg Ray says someone is setting fire to vacant homes in Ashland, and police are investigating.
A Moorhead man is indicted for killing his daughter's boyfriend.
And a new wildlife center will be developed in eastern Kentucky.
In sports, the Indians try to win the World Series in front of their Cleveland fans tonight. They lead the Cubs 3-2.
Bud Luke has the business news.
It'll be mostly clear tonight with lows around 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A second person has now been arrested in connection with the October 16th murder of an Ashland man. WSAZ is reporting that Zachary Tarleton of Ironton is charged with criminal conspiracy to commit robbery. Tarleton was charged today, a week after the arrest of 24-year-old Jacob Lane. Lane, who is from Franklin Furnace, is accused of shooting 21-year-old Justin Reeder in the head and dumping his body in Lawrence County, Ohio. He's also charged with burglarizing the victim's home on October 21st.
The Moorhead News is reporting that the Rowan County Grand Jury has indicted a 59-year-old man in the August shooting death of Marvin Adkins. The murder indictment was returned against Teddy Johnson of Moorhead, who was arrested shortly after the 24-year-old victim was shot during a dispute at Johnson's home on Brown Ridge Road. Kentucky State Police say Adkins had been dating Johnson's daughter.
According to WLEX, an inmate at the Mason County Detention Center walked away from a work detail today. Mason jailer Lisa O'Hearn tells the Lexington Station that 36-year-old Matthew Martin was working at the county recycling center when he disappeared. Police say he was serving time for drug trafficking, receiving stolen property, and possession of a forged instrument. The charges were out of Gallatin County.
Clay County's judge executive has resigned following charges related to public corruption. Joe Asher and former road foreman Buford Jarvis were indicted earlier this year on charges that included abusing the public trust, bribery, and possession of a forged instrument. The indictment accuses Asher and Jarvis of using public resources to make a profit by selling landscaping services to private property owners. The men allegedly installed tile and concrete barriers and altered purchase orders found in their possession. Asher resigned yesterday. The Clay County Fiscal Court has elected Magistrate Johnny Johnson to serve as interim judge executive until Governor Matt Bevin appoints Asher's permanent replacement.
Someone is setting fire to vacant homes in Ashland. Greg Ray is the city's deputy fire chief.
Well, here in the last few weeks, we've had probably four instances of houses catching on fire. They're vacant, no utilities. One happened in the same house. So it kind of leads us to believe that somebody's going around maybe setting fires. So we're trying to investigate each one of them separately and trying to figure out. We've been working with the police department here in town trying to follow leads.
Ray says a firefighter suffered a minor injury in one of those incidents. He says there's concern that someone will be seriously hurt or killed if the fires continue.
A lack of significant rainfall in recent weeks has officials with the Daniel Boone National Forest and the Kentucky Division of Forestry on high alert. The two groups have formed a wildfire prevention team. It's being led by Evelyn Morgan, who says dry falling leaves are helping to increase the danger of potential fires. Morgan says five small blazes were detected in the last few days in the Daniel Boone.
Our big issue is that over the weekend we found 14 abandoned campfires in the Red River Gorge, and that is just unacceptable. It's so dangerous that everyone needs to keep in mind that they need to make sure that their campfires are out dead.
Morgan says for now, area residents should avoid burning debris. Since arson accounts for 2/3 of Kentucky's wildfires, she advises anyone who suspects that a blaze has been purposely set to call 1-800-27-ARSON.
A federal grant of more than $12 million will be used to develop a nature area in Bell County that will be located on 19 square miles along the Cumberland River. The award was announced today by Governor Matt Bevin and Congressman Hal Rogers. Rogers says the money is from the U.S. Office of Surface Mining and Reclamation Enforcement and will go toward creation of the Appalachian Wildlife Center. He says the development will include a museum of natural and regional history, a theater, an astronomy pavilion, and a scenic loop road for wildlife viewing.
This Appalachian Wildlife Center is the next chapter in our story. Just imagine this. Next time you are back here,
you'll see majestic elk, you'll see turkey, other wildlife flourishing on this beautiful
good land.
Rogers says plans call for the Wildlife Center to be open to the public in 2019. It is expected to draw more than 630,000 visitors annually by its fifth year of operation.
At this time of the fall, Kentucky State Police are warning drivers to be on the lookout for deer. Master Trooper Joe Veneman is the spokesman for the KSP's Moorhead Post. According to Veneman, it's the mating season for the deer, which causes them to be more active and crossing roads.
It's the time of season where the deer are going to be out moving around, and obviously our collisions go up at this time of year just because the deer are out moving around, and we just wanted to put some information out there to let the public be aware and remind them that, you know, it is deer season.
Last year, there were 3,283 vehicle deer collisions in Kentucky, with 425 of them between 2011 and 2015. Boyd County ranked fifth in the state. Rowan County had 190 such incidents during that same time frame. That amounts to an annual average of 38.
UPS operates 100,000 vehicles worldwide, and more than 8,000 of them run on alternative fuels. That's what an official with the Louisville-based package delivery company told a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfurt this afternoon. Nick DeAndrea is vice president of public affairs for UPS. He testified before House and Senate members of the Kentucky Legislature's Interim Joint Committee on Transportation and told them the firm hit an important milestone earlier this year.
Probably the biggest thing that we're excited about is the fact that we met our goal ahead of schedule of driving 1 billion miles on alternative fuel vehicles. Our original goal was 2017. We actually passed that last August. So we were well ahead of schedule and proud to be kind of a leader in this space and looking forward to continuing to be a leader in the future.
DeAndrea says UPS drivers cover 8.3 million miles in Kentucky every year in vehicles powered by natural gas or other alternative fuels.
Three state road construction projects will be starting soon in Rowan County. Crews from the Kentucky Department of Highways District 9 will widen Kentucky 519 at Cave Run Lake and also repair a section of I-64 East, along with part of Kentucky 1167. Alan Blair is the spokesman for District 9.
We've had a lot more construction this summer than we're seeing right now. A lot of projects have diminished this summer. We finished a lot of the paving, so we're kind of dwindling on our projects. About the only thing you'll see coming up in the winter will be some ongoing projects that have work scheduled through next year, basically Kentucky 519 and the AA Highway at Maysville and a few other projects that are long-term.
The work on Kentucky 519 won't be finished until the end of next year. The repairs on Kentucky 1167 and I-64 will start next week.
Kentucky Transportation Director Greg Thomas says the jobs of project inspectors and highway equipment operators will likely be combined next spring. He says the reclassification will allow additional workers to be available during storms and other emergencies.
That will give us many more folks in which to utilize when during snow and ice, during emergencies, and actually during the course of the year. So we're looking at more effective utilization of our resources.
Thomas made the announcement Monday during a press conference in Frankfurt.
Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul and Democratic challenger Jim Gray faced off last night in a televised debate just 1 week before the election. Paul is finishing his first term as a U.S. senator, but spent the first part of the campaign for the GOP's presidential nomination. Gray, a two-term mayor of Lexington, used that issue to criticize Paul for abandoning his state to focus on his own wants.
Now, the senator has focused on running for president for the last 5 years and not focused on Kentucky and the challenges that we have right here in Kentucky.
If anybody up here is distracted by running for two offices, it's you. I mean, you got an enormous hole in the middle of Lexington. It's been there your entire tenure.
Paul had his own criticism for Mayor Gray.
If anybody up here is distracted by running for two offices, it's you. I mean, you got an enormous hole in the middle of Lexington. It's been there your entire tenure. You've been there 8 years.
Both candidates have only appeared together two times prior to KET's Kentucky Tonight debate.
The newest co-founder Pulse poll shows Kentucky continuing to favor the Republican candidates for president and Senate, but Haley Hansen reports that a large group of undecided voters could change things in the next week.
According to the newest numbers, Donald Trump and Senator Rand Paul still hold the leads for the presidential and Senate races, but co-founder lobbyist Bob Babbage says there's still last-minute campaigning to be done.
Many people will be out and working and pushing it. The calls will ramp up. The mail will fill your mailbox.
While undecided voters are starting to make up their minds, about 26% of Kentuckians are still undecided in the presidential race and 37% undecided for the Senate. I'm Haley Hansen.
Donald Trump must do well in southern and eastern Ohio to have a chance at winning the Buckeye State in next week's presidential election. That's according to a political analyst for Cleveland.com who appeared on C-SPAN's Washington Journal. Henry Gomez says the region is filled with the kind of working-class voters to which the Republican nominee appeals, but they're a small percentage of Ohio's population.
Down along the Ohio River, these are counties that were Democratic up until the last two presidential elections. They started trending red with John McCain and then with Mitt Romney, and Donald Trump plays even better there than those candidates did. Now, are there enough votes there for him to flip Ohio back to Republicans? I'm not sure, because the sense is Hillary Clinton's going to do better in some of these suburban counties.
Gomez says it'll be hard for Trump to carry Ohio if there's a strong turnout for Democrat Hillary Clinton in more urban parts of the state. No Republican has ever been elected president without winning Ohio.
An organization is trying to help low-income Kentucky families this winter. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the Northeast Kentucky Community Action Agency is now taking applications for its low-income home energy assistance program. This program will provide families with subsidies to help them pay for their heating bills this winter. Those wishing to apply must do so at their nearest Northeast office. You must provide your most recent heating bill, your Social Security information, proof of all household members' income for the previous month, the account number and name for all heating fuel sources, and your most recent electric bill. For more information, you can call the agency's Olive Hill office at 606-286-5344. For more Head State Public Radio news, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
The city of Ashland has revised its ordinance on solicitation to prohibit persons from blocking traffic or being too aggressive in their pursuit of contributions. Commissioners unanimously approved the changes last week. Marty Goot serves on the panel. He says commissioners have been under attack for not dealing with the issue sooner, but adjustments to the ordinance had to be carefully worded.
I mean, there's a lot of complaints. People attack you on Facebook and say, why don't you do something about this? And the average person doesn't realize what we have to go through to do this. It's a free speech thing now. And we'll be sued by the ACLU if we prohibit free speech, even if it's a lie.
Goot says commissioners wanted to make sure any changes they made to the ordinance didn't impair the efforts of veterans, the Little League, or other nonprofit organizations.
And finally this afternoon, faculty, staff, and students at West Carter High School are mourning the loss of Principal John Baumgartner. The popular 53-year-old Baumgartner died unexpectedly on Sunday after suffering a heart attack. Carter County School Superintendent Ronnie Dotson says the news of Baumgartner's death has been hard on those at West Carter.
It's a very somber atmosphere here at the school. The students are
devastated, as well as the staff and faculty that have worked with him for so many years. So Mr. Baumgartner was a great educator, but more than that, he was a great friend to the people here in West Carter, and so he'll be sadly missed.
Guidance counselors and other principals from the Carter School District were at West Carter High School Monday to provide grief counseling. A veteran educator of 27 years, Baumgartner had been the facility's principal for the past 8. He leaves behind a wife and 2 daughters.
Turning now to take a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, mostly clear skies. You can expect lows around 58 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be warm and mostly sunny, highs all the way up around 82. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers near dawn and lows in the lower 60s. On Thursday, it'll start to get cooler, highs around 68 and a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Thursday night, it'll be partly cloudy, patchy valley fog and lows around 42. On Friday, at the end of our work week, it'll be sunny, highs in the upper 50s. It's currently sitting at 83 degrees in Ashland. It's 81 right now in Flemingsburg, 82 in Inez, as well as in Lexington, Winchester, and 82 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:46, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and it is good to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, the Ashland-Boyd County Emergency Management Agency has 2 unique employees on its roster. Morehead State Public Radio's Ashley Chapman has that story.
Lucy and Daisy are bloodhounds who work with the Emergency Management Agency as search and rescue dogs. Lucy, a 4-year-old bloodhound, has had several successful search and rescues with the department, and Daisy, a 1-year-old bloodhound, is currently being trained to do the same. Tim England is the director of the Ashland-Boyd County Emergency Management Agency, and he says their services are frequently in demand.
As far as on actual searches, probably 2 to 3 times a month we go out, and it may not be here in the county, but it could be in Carter County or some other locations.
Lucy and Daisy have the potential to become drug-sniffing dogs, explosives detection dogs, or cadaver dogs. However, England says there are no plans to cross-train them.
You know, they're a very valuable tool, but they are not cross-trained to do other areas. It really diminishes some of their talents if you try to cross-train them into multiple things. So we strictly use our 2 for search and rescue.
England says that training isn't easy and there's a lot of discipline involved, but that the dogs know when it's time to buckle down.
And so it's really quite amazing as a dog owner who have had dogs my entire life to resist not wanting to play with them. But they know. They know when the collar goes on, they know that they're there to work.
Daisy's training will be completed soon, and then she and Lucy will work with the EMA across several counties, aiding law enforcement in time-sensitive search and rescue missions. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Ashley Chapman.
4:48, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Morehead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Game 6 of the World Series will be played tonight at 8 o'clock in Cleveland. Up 3-2 in the best-of-7 fall classic, the host Indians will send 3-game winner Josh Tomlin to the mound in an effort to nail down the clincher. The Cubs will counter with 18-game winner Jake Arrieta.
Obviously the conditions, it's going to be cold probably again like it was when we were out there last time. I'm not really going to, you know, expose everything or the way I'm really going to attack those guys. I just want to execute with quality in and out of the strike zone and try and get ahead in the count as early and as often as I can.
Arrieta beat the Indians in Game 2 at Progressive Field. Actually, the weather tonight in Cleveland is expected to be rather mild. The game time temperature will hover around 70 degrees with little chance of rain. The Cubs are hoping to become just the sixth team to win a World Series after being down 3-1. The Morehead State baseball team is wrapping up its fall practices today at Allen Field with the final game of its blue-gold best-of-five inter-squad scrimmage. Coach Mike McGuire believes the Eagles have had a productive several weeks and says their returning veterans have displayed an increased maturity at the plate.
Last year we were young positionally and, you know, we're getting better pitch selection. You know, one of the things we focused on, we wanted to walk more, get more free bases, and seeing some of the guys that, you know, were kind of all or nothing, either got a hit or got out but didn't get free bases last year, I've learned to, you know, to work a walk and get a better pitch to hit.
The Gold team will be looking for a 5-game sweep of the Blue Squad in this evening's final game. The Morehead State football team is back at Jane Stadium practicing for its upcoming visit to PFL rival Butler. The 2-6 Eagles are coming off of a bye weekend and they're in their schedule, and head coach Rob Tenier says his players are healthier, refreshed, and fired up about Saturday's game in Indianapolis.
Hopefully we can go out and play a competitive game and not show any rust from the layoff. We only practiced 2 weeks last week. And then we took an extra day of preparation on Sunday this week to get ready for Butler. So here we are, and let's go play.
Butler is 4-5 this season after fending off Valparaiso last weekend, 23-12. With his team riding a 3-game winning streak, Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops is looking forward to the Wildcats' next challenge. With an eye on improving its 4-2 SEC record, UK will host Kirby Smart's 4-4 Georgia Bulldogs on Saturday.
I have a lot of respect for Kirby and the way they play, so we'll have our hands full. It'll be a real challenge, but it'll be an exciting opportunity for us. We have not won 5 conference games for a long time, and we'll have an opportunity to do that this Saturday. So looking forward to the challenge, looking forward to getting back in our meetings with our players this afternoon and getting back on the field with them and starting our prep for Georgia.
Georgia has lost its last 2 games, totaling just 26 points in falling to Vanderbilt and Florida. Georgia beat Kentucky last season 27-3 down in Athens. After having last week off, the Round County football team is preparing for its playoff battle with Bourbon County on Friday. Roundhead man Gene Peterson says the off week was much needed for his team.
Well, it helped quite a bit. I mean, you know, we've gone through just straight 10 weeks of football, and so it just gives us a little time to heal up a little bit and get our legs back underneath of us. And, you know, I'd already watch a little film and start going over the our defensive scouting reports. And, you know, the rest of this week we'll be concentrating, you know, a little bit more and more every day on Bourbon County.
Round is 2-8 on the year, while Bourbon County sits at 5-5. The Morehead State men's basketball team hosts Cincinnati Christian in an exhibition game this weekend. Head coach Sean Woods says he thinks if his team can stay healthy come postseason play, this year may be the year his Eagles win the OVC tournament.
You know, we've beaten down that door. Sooner or later, it's got to open for us because I think we've been playing some pretty good basketball for the last 2-3 years going into it. And we've done everything here except for doing that. So I think that, you know, once we do that and get that kind of monkey off our back a little bit, you know, we'll be exactly where we need to be.
MSU was picked by the media to finish 3rd in the OVC this season behind Belmont and Murray State. The MSU women's basketball team is getting set to host Transylvania at LSD Johnson Arena in an exhibition game on Thursday. Head coach Greg Todd says his squad is ready to face some competition.
We look forward to competing. I know our practices have been very competitive, but I think it's that time of year you want to see some competition.
The MSU Lady Eagles were picked to finish 10th in the OVC. Thursday's game tips off at 7 p.m. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari is praising the offseason improvements made to Rupp Arena. After Sunday's exhibition rout of Clarion, Calipari said he likes the upgrades made to the 40-year-old facility.
Scoreboard, the ribbon board, I mean, it's like a new arena. Sounds different, looks different. The videos, you know, it's like we're, you know, just it presents the game even better. Really does.
The UK basketball team will be at Rupp Arena on Sunday for a 7 p.m. exhibition contest against Asbury. And finally, some notes from around the NBA. Sharpshooter Ray Allen announced today that he has officially retired. The 41-year-old Allen last played for Miami in the 2013-14 season. He had reportedly been in talks with the Golden State Warriors and Cleveland Cavaliers about a potential comeback. And Sacramento big man DeMarcus Cousins was fined $25,000 for throwing his mouthpiece and entering the stands during the team's game on Monday. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle Volleyball welcomes Eastern Kentucky tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Wednesday. Women's basketball opens their season with an exhibition game hosting Transylvania at 7 p.m. on Thursday. Tickets and information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities fell for the first trading day of the month as recent election news and a Federal Reserve meeting sent jitters through the market. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 105.32 at 18,037.10, although if it was well off of earlier lows. The S&P 500 was down 14.43 at 2111.72, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 35.56 at 5153.58. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 3-1 in favor of losers over winners. Investors also certainly kept an eye on the Fed today as the central bank began a two-day meeting. While the central bank is largely expected to keep interest rates unchanged at this meeting, market expectations for a December rate hike are more than 70%. In economic news, the October read on the market manufacturing PMI came in at 53.4, which was above September's number of 51.5. The ISM Manufacturing Index for October met expectations of 51.9, while construction spending data for September missed consensus. In corporate news, earnings season continued with Dow component Pfizer reporting weaker than expected results, while Coach posted inline earnings and sales below consensus. And according to data from the Earnings Scout, 70% of the 328 S&P 500 companies that had reported as of this morning had actually exceeded earnings expectations, while 55% beat revenue estimates. Overseas, European equities traded mostly lower, with a pan-European 600 index falling about 1%. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 closed marginally higher after the Bank of Japan held monetary policy steady. U.S. crude prices for December delivery fell almost 0.5% to settle at $46.67 a barrel, while gold futures for December delivery rose $14.90, selling at $1,288 per ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Chevron and Merck, and your worst performers were Pfizer and Apple. And among S&P 500 companies, the best performers were Archer Daniels Midland and Alcoa, and the worst performers were Pitney Bowes and L Brands. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 23 cents at 111.50, CSX down 11 cents at 30.40, AK Steel down 10 cents at 5.10, Marathon Petroleum down $1.27 at 42.32, AEP down $1.41 at 63.43, and Community Trust Bank was down 15 cents to finish at 36.40. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast, tonight mostly clear skies and lows around 58 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be warm and mostly sunny, highs around 82. Tomorrow night mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of isolated showers, lows in the lower 60s. On Thursday, mostly cloudy with a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, a little cooler with highs around 68. That night, partly cloudy, lows around 42. And on Friday, continuing to cool, sunny, with highs in the upper 50s. It is currently 82 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Baraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. From the Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.